Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Football may be known as the beautiful game, but the nation's favourite sport has its ugly side. And presenter Rylan Clark knows this all too well. Ollie met Rylan at West Ham's London Stadium to discuss his new documentary with TNT Sport. Rylan, homophobia, football, and me. Enjoy.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one!
It's the Politics Show cast.
Before we get into the meat of it and we start talking about your doc, just about homophobia and football, how would you like to describe yourself?
Just that idiot off the telly who done all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Second set of teeth.
That idiot
actually
off the telly.
Actually, third, if you count the original ones.
Count the original ones. Yeah. Okay, so that idiot off the telly with the third set of teeth.
Yeah.
Who was interviewing the Prime Minister this morning.
Yeah, just standard.
Just what you do.
Standard day, yeah.
It's a day for you.
Yeah.
I did like it when you said something to him about having an odd nut in the morning.
Yeah, well, he's been on a fast. He does this fasting thing where he sort of finishes eating Sunday early evening, mm-hmm. and then don't eat until Tuesday morning. And I was like,
come on.
You've already got a tough enough job as it is. I don't envy you. Mm. Surely you must get a bit hangry. I was like, do you have the odd nut? He was like, yeah. He's a liar. No,
I don't believe him. Yeah, I've never... Henry, actually. Henry's a faster, but I've...
Are you a faster, Henry?
I'm faster.
Oh, we'll chat after this.
You giving it a go? You giving it a go?
No, just got lost in Henry's eyes. No,
happens to all of us, mate. Happens to all of us. We're here for your doc.
Yeah.
TNT Sports, it's about homophobia and football.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've given it a bit of a top line there, but...
I mean, you've pretty much done it. We don't need to do anything.
Yeah, right. We'll finish up now, shall we? Tell us about it. Tell us about the film.
Yeah, so basically I've worked with TNT, formerly BT Sport, quite a few times now. And it probably surprises people that I follow Joe, I like football, I enjoy football. And when they said about doing a doc about homophobia and things like that in the game, my first thought was, it's 2024. Like, how are we still having this conversation? But sadly, you do have to have this conversation. And I know there'll probably be a lot of your viewers and people that follow your pages as well that will comment underneath this without even watching the video. And I'd bet a tenner, 10 euro, we'll say, on someone to go, what's this prick know about football? What's this puff doing on here? That don't surprise me at all. But hello, Brad, with your England flag as your profile photo. It's something for me, you know, we're here at West Ham, I'm a hammer. I was a junior hammer as a kid. I love football, I love watching the game. And I think for me, growing up, going to football and watching football, it was a lot easier than me now going to football because people know who I am, people know I'm gay, it's an easy shout out, it's an easy insult. It don't bother me as much, but there's also 60,000 other people in this arena. A few of them might not be comfortable with their sexuality, might not feel all right if someone's shouting something out. And I'm not, and I hate the word, but I'm not woke in any way. I love banter, I love the football songs, love all the chat. But when you hear certain insults shouted out, even me with a thick skin's a little bit like, oh, it's a bit near the mark, you know. So it's looking at sort of how the fans are. Why has no Premier League player ever felt comfortable enough to come out while they're still playing the game? We've obviously known about people that have come out after retiring. And just looking at it from all different aspects, you know, I sit down with Rio, who I love, Rio Ferdinand, and he was such a good chat. You know, his sister's gay, and Rio said some things in the past that he's not so proud of now. But back then, you know, it's just one of those things you sit there and go, oh yeah, it's just a slur word I'd use. But he said, when my sister come out as gay to me, she told me how uncomfortable that made her feel. So it's just about learning and just talking about language and stuff, really. And yeah, meeting some former players that have come out, meeting Jen Beattie, who's, you know, a brilliant female footballer. And I mean, in the girls' game, it's rare to be straight. So it's almost the unspoken thing in the girls' game. And I just think, why can't the men's game be a little bit more as open as that?
You mentioned so much stuff that I want to get
Mate,
into.
Pick away.
And we will. Let's start, okay, with what you receive and what you get on the day, right? So you mentioned a couple of slurs there that you've received. Are we still talking about sort of verbal abuse?
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the terraces, you still get it now.
Mate, it didn't actually make the documentary, but I was here, and bearing in mind, I come here a lot and normally end up clambering over to the chairman's lounge and being like, where's he going on? Like, after a few drinks. Karen Brady, come out. But while I was here filming the doc, I was just standing up there watching the game by myself, and some old bloke turned around and went, you queer. And I was like, one, have a fucking look. Two, you're clearly with your granddaughter, you've just embarrassed yourself. And three, you'd probably come up to me in Lakeside asking for a photo. Like, why are you trying to act hard in front of your mates? But the thing is, for me, but I just called it out, I won't say what I called him, but it was a four-letter word and it began with a C. But I just think, what are you trying to prove? Like, has that made you feel better?
Yeah.
Has that made you feel like the big man? Because actually, everyone's just looking at you thinking, you fucking prick.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem, you know. A lot of the times, people don't mean what they shout at, especially...
Do you think that's the case, though? Do you think they don't mean it?
I genuinely do. Or maybe I want to believe that. Because a lot of the time, in this arena, you'll listen to some of the slurs that have been shouted at against an opposing team. We've seen the ones that come down to race, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
I've heard the ones that come down to, technically, homophobia. Do they mean it in a homophobic way? Maybe not. When I spoke to Rio, for argument's sake, when he used the word in a radio interview that would be deemed very homophobic now, he didn't mean it in a homophobic way.
Yeah.
It was a slur. It was a slur word. But I just think, I'm not here to censor what people are saying. I'm all for, you know, give it to the other team and stuff like that. Just be a bit mindful of what's going on around you. And no wonder Premiership footballers ain't decided to come out.
Yeah, that intention, I think, is really important, right? Because, I don't know, take a lot of drag queens will use sort of slurs and sort of almost like reclaiming the language, right?
Yeah.
You know, the
word queer,
yeah,
when I was growing up, was an insult. Now it's sort of reclaimed.
Yeah.
I still don't really use that word, but you've got LGBTQ+, and the Q's for queer. And it's like, to me, that was something I was so frightened of being called growing up.
Yeah.
Now it's sort of reclaimed. And I think, you know, good for the community if you want to reclaim those words. And being here at West Ham, I've been a West Ham fan all my life. I didn't realize there was a collection of people called Pride of Irons. And that shocked me. The first time I knew that was on this documentary when I sat down and met them. And the reason why they got together to go to games and how they help West Ham and other clubs have got their own as well tackle that issue, because sadly it is an issue. You know, football's for everyone. We sit there and say football's the beautiful game. It is the game that anyone can love. Anyone can be a supporter. Well, would you feel comfortable being a supporter if the bloke next to you is calling you that? Not really. So it's just about educating people, really. Just think before you speak.
And in terms of the men's game, one of the things you mentioned at the top, right, there's no out players currently, currently playing, right? There are in the women's game, and we'll come to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But just staying for the men's game for the moment, why do you think that is? What do you think it is that's stopping people coming out?
I think a number of things. I think inherent past of what's happened when players have decided to come out after they've retired. I think from a player's point of view, a lot of players that I've spoken to would feel that their teammates may feel uncomfortable in the changing rooms, things like that. Abso-fucking-lutely ridiculous reasonings, but I get it. I also think they become a target for the exact slurs we hear shouted out on the pitch. You know, the fight against racism in football, and I'm not here to compare racism to homophobia in any means, but looking on a level, the fight against racism has come so far over the years in football, and so it should. There's still a fight to be had with that. But even nowadays, we're seeing videos of people at football matches doing gestures, and you sit there and go, that's shocking, but it still happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same when it comes down to homophobia in football as well. And, you know, if I was a player for West Ham, and people didn't know my sexuality, or I hadn't even told anyone what my sexuality really was, would I feel comfortable going up against Chelsea fans, Arsenal fans, Man U fans? No, I probably wouldn't.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I think we live in a world, I especially live in a world, where I've grown a thick skin because of the job that I do and names I get called on a daily basis, but then I just sit there and go, fuck it, I'm rich. I don't care.
Yeah, you get paid for it, yeah.
Cheers, Jim. But it can get you.
Because that was one of the really interesting things with, it was Thomas Hitzlsperger that you interview in the doc,
right? Lovely bloke.
Yeah, great guy. Certainly gives the impression of being a great guy.
No, he really is.
And he says, it wasn't the media, it wasn't the fans, it was my teammates.
Yeah.
That's what the barrier was for
him. That really shocked me.
Yeah, it surprised me as well.
Yeah, it really, really shocked me. And, you know, your teammates, it's the word team. Mm. That's what you are, we're a team. You look at what footballers have done over the years, you know, they've not always been angels. There's been a lot worse of things than coming out as gay being a footballer that's happened in the beautiful game. But yeah, that really shocked me with Tom, because he said it weren't the fans for me, it wasn't this, that weren't even a fault for me. It was being in the changing room, how am my team going to, you know, after the game we'll go and have a shower, after the game, would they treat me differently? And it killed him, it sort of ate him up inside to think that his teammates, like, that he plays with on a daily basis with the game that he loves, would look at him differently just because of who he goes to bed with at night. And that's sad. That's
it is
proper sad.
Yeah.
I think, bearing in mind, Thomas obviously hasn't played for a while, but I'd like to think internally football's come on a long, long way, especially with players. But we don't know.
That's okay, so that's the thing for me, because, and you talk about this in the doc as well, right? But is it a football thing? Because you look at the women's game, and that homophobia isn't necessarily as present as it is within the men's game. So then that leads me to the conclusion, sit there thinking, okay, so is this kind of a male stereotype, traditional masculinity, call it even toxic masculinity,
100%.
That is the problem, 100%. Rather than it being anything to do with the game?
Of course it is. Listen, you look around this stadium when it's full, and you could look toxic masculinity in the face. Again, it's a phrase that I don't like doing. I did a podcast all about how to be a man.
Mm.
And even then people are like, well, you know about how to be a man. And that was exactly the point where I did the podcast. It's like, you. It's you.
Yeah.
Isn't it, Steve? That's who I'm talking about there. But yeah, I think the game as a whole, you know, women's football is having such a massive resurgence and really getting pushed, and so it should, because the girls are amazing at the game. And I'm glad that they're finally getting that accolade that they are. But I think in the men's game, it's always been that traditional, you know, man's sport, girls shouldn't play football, blah, blah.
Mm.
And a lot of fans, unfortunately, do have that mindset. And a lot of the fans, I don't think we can always blame it on age, because, you know, I was recently in Italy and had comments from a young guy and then old people applauding me at stuff. So it's for another show that I'm doing. And I don't think we can always put it down to age, but I just think it's a group mentality as well.
Right.
You know, one person don't sing a song and it's the only person singing that song in a stadium. Someone starts singing a song against an opposing team, someone else is, and it's that chain reaction. And I think pack mentality comes into it a lot when it comes down to the fans. And you're right, I think maybe we shouldn't say it's football, but we should say it's definitely the men's game of football. Definitely.
Okay.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Not another one?
It's the Politics Show cast.
So in terms of tackling those discriminatory attitudes, those prejudices, what role do you see for speaking to politicians, or if our politicians have a role at all? Because in the film, you mentioned Thatcher, right? And Section 28.
Yeah.
So what role do you see for our politicians in confronting this?
I think that's a really difficult question. And I don't know what role I see for politicians in confronting this, because actually, I don't think anything a politician says is going to affect a football fan. I don't think anything I'm going to say is going to affect a football fan when they're in the moment at a game. What I personally think does need to happen is that, especially with this doc, if I have one person, and I know this sounds cheesy, but I'm going to do it, like, you look like a pop star, you sound like a pop star, I'm going to say it. One person watches this and goes, oh, I really like Rio Ferdinand. Oh, I can't believe his sister said that to him and like made him rethink. That's all I need. That's that. I would feel comfortable that someone has watched that and gone, oh, maybe I won't shout at Chelsea rent boys. Maybe I won't shout at this. Maybe I won't use that as a slur. You know, by calling someone a prick on the play on the field, I get it. It's a game. It's like a blood sport at times, football. You know, you want to scream, you want to shout. But there is a difference between calling someone a prick because they mucked up a pass and calling someone a faggot because they didn't score a goal. That's the way that I look at it. And if people still think that that's all right, then good for them. But what are you passing on to the next lot?
Really,
you ain't going to be here for ages.
Yeah.
Neither am I.
It's a really interesting point about grassroots action.
Yeah, majorly. And that's where it comes from. You know, we can sit here and go to the club and say this, you know, here at West Ham, I know they've got a lot of things in place about stewards and stuff and what happens. It has to be reported and then people get bans and there's an education program in place, because I don't want anyone banned from football. I don't want anyone, you know, it's really hard to, the clubs can do all that they can, but I believe they are doing all that they can. It comes down to everyone around you. I think what the clubs say as well is, you know, if you do hear any language like this, you can report it to a steward. Are you going to feel comfortable going up to a steward in front of 500 other fans and going, that man there just said the word gay? Like, you're not going to really do it. So I think it's more of a case of just going directly to the fans. Fuck me, I thought it was an eagle. Jesus, did you see that?
It's a crow.
It's a big old crow.
It's a big one.
Cheryl over there. Sorry, I was right on a roll then.
You were good then.
Yeah. I was good. but genuinely, like, on a genuine note, I think the clubs are doing all that they can. Unless you're going to sit there and mic up every single fan in here and then go, oh, you can't say, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a plea to the fans, I think. It's a plea to the fans. Just go, think about what you say. I think we're all getting to that point. Maybe not everyone, sadly, when it comes down to things like racism and stuff, people know that's not language you use. You don't use things like that. And I hope people get to that point when it comes down to what someone might not see as homophobia, but you've got the Pride of Iron sat over there as a pack because they feel more comfortable sat together. What are we living in? 1973.
Yeah.
Like, I should be able to sit anywhere in this stadium as a West Ham fan with West Ham fans around me and cheer on my team without some old bloke shouting out, you queer, or something like that.
And in terms of setting those attitudes as well, I think you probably have to talk about the role of the media.
Yeah, majorly. Media plays a massive role. And I think one thing we really hit on in the doc is when there's rumours of a Premier star thinking about coming out. And it's that black silhouette on the front page of the paper, like a murder lineup. That to me, that silhouette's been used for the same story, whether it's someone thinking about coming out in football, whether it's someone's a rapist that's gone down and we can't name them. That's the association that the media sometimes do. And I've always had quite a good relationship with the media myself, but yeah, they could definitely do better when it comes down to reporting about footballers and potentially coming out as gay or bisexual.
I guess back in the day, I mean, it's not even back in the day, it's still something recently, it was sort of quite explicit homophobia.
Yeah.
I'm still talking about the media. Nowadays, I think it's become slightly less acceptable to just, you know, blatantly use the slurs that you've described or threaten to out people and things like that. And nowadays, it's more a kind of, still present, that transphobia is sort of creeping
majorly
into it now.
Majorly.
As well. And I wonder if, what parallels you think there might be between sort of, in terms of trans liberation, gay liberation, whether you think there are lessons that can be learned between the two and the way that media has shifted and changed.
I think people need to start worrying about their own lives, to be perfectly honest with you. Look at yourself before you start looking at other people. I think if you could sit there and tar a trans person with the brush of shouldn't be allowed in this space, shouldn't be allowed in that space, and I understand arguments that have been going on, I'm not going to sit there and talk for the trans community because I'm not a trans person. But do I stand with the trans community? Absolutely. And do I believe that everyone should be free to live their life as long as they're not hurting anyone else? Absolutely, 100%. Do I think if a straight, white, 50-year-old man murdered someone in the woods, that all straight, white, 50-year-old men are murderers? No, I don't. And I think people forget that. And I hate the term straight white man because it's thrown about so much, but that's the best way to describe it because that's a norm in this country. I'm a gay man. If I was a footballer, I don't understand what business of yours it's got who I'm sleeping with at night, who I'm choosing to spend the rest of my life with. If a Premier League footballer wanted to come out right now, do I think it would be a big story? Absolutely. Do I think that they would be extremely praised? Yeah, I actually do think they would. Do I think fans in any of these stadiums, if that was their favourite footballer, would no longer like that footballer because they're gay? I think there will be a few, but that says more about them than it does the footballer.
Absolutely. And what you've just described there, you know, that kind of, that allyship, right, to a different community is a really important thing. And you touch on it in the film as well, in relation to Jordan Henderson going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You know, previously a very staunch and vocal ally of the LGBT community.
Amazing.
Big on rainbow laces.
Yep.
A real vocal ally. And I think it was the Pride of Irons people that you were talking
they
to
were
about
so upset.
It.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that a little bit for me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, there's a lot of money in the Saudi game. I get it. We had the World Cup in Qatar. Right.
Yeah,
you know, as a gay fan, are you going to feel comfortable going to a country where you're going to get locked up for being gay?
Because they were like, oh, we'll be very open, we know everyone's welcome, and then people getting their rainbow flags taken off them, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, we've heard all this before in the past, have we not? Like, I'm not going to start making comparisons, but like, come over here, you'll be all right, boom. Like, you know, so, look, the Saudi game, they're trying to build what they want to build over there. Good luck to them, wish them all the best. Do I think as a player that's gone over there, who has been so forthright in LGBTQ rights and the Rainbow Laces campaign and things like that? Yeah, it's odd. Do I sit here and judge someone like Jordan Henderson for going to Saudi? No, I don't actually. You want to play the game you want to play. They're offering you a great amount of money. You go. But it's now going to be quite difficult. We now know, obviously, I've already filmed the documentary, but at the time of recording, we didn't. Jordan's obviously left. And are we going to sit there and listen to you as an ally with rainbow laces? Probably not straight away. Maybe you could do a bit of bit more to convince us that, oh, yeah, do you know what, it weren't the right move. But look, I'm not going to sit here and bash Jordan Henderson. Yeah. I'm not going to bash anyone for decisions they make. Everyone makes mistakes. I've made mistakes myself in the past. All of us are one day away from being cancelled or killed. So like, that's how I look at life. But in that respect, it's hard seeing, and especially for the Pride of Lions, their words not mine, seeing someone who they thought was such an ally to that community was almost a face of and forefront of making sure that football was an inclusive game, to head off to Saudi was a kick in the teeth for him.
Yeah. As we sort of come towards the end of this conversation, looking forwards and your journey attending games, being a part of football, playing football, and then, you know, coming here, going to Watson Park and then coming here.
I've only done this documentary to get a footballer boyfriend. No, yeah.
I don't blame you.
We're all aware of that.
It's a good move. If Henry,
I
want to
be the
available.
First tab, husband and boyfriend.
Nice. Yeah, I like that for you.
I'm totally joking, by the way.
Would you be? Would you be joking? Yeah.
No,
is it getting better coming here? Like, your experience as a gay man?
I think it's more a case of, I'm... In real life, I'm 6'4", 6'5". I can handle myself if someone says something to me. I stand up and then they're like, fuck, he's quite tall. No, I think on a serious level, I understand the job that I do is slightly different. I'm not an A-list celebrity by any means, but you can't miss these teeth. So I'm going to get people be like, oh, it's Ryan. That's fine. Second I hear someone shout something like that at me, I'm like, you what, you prick?
Yeah.
And I think it is about standing up for yourself. And sometimes people don't feel comfortable to do that. But actually, listen around you and look around you, because not everyone's an idiot. And if you see someone being an idiot, call them out on it and go, shut the fuck up, mate. Yeah? Or piss off. Simple as that. And actually, the more people that do that, the less it's going to happen. Mm. So, safety in numbers. We're all Amers fans in this stadium. Look after one another. Don't be a prick.
Get mob handed.
Yeah.
Ryan Clark, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.